Hey, everybody, and welcome to the After Show. We are recording live. I am your host, Michael T. Rose, and I am joined, as always, by my partner in podcasting crime, Ms. Kelly Guimond, currently stuffy.
It's rare that it's me who gets that intro, so I figured I should let you have it. So, yeah, hi.
Hi. Well, after editing our last show and having to remove what felt like a full 45 minutes of... like the Darth Vader's CPAP machine running in the background. Darth, will you turn that thing off? Can't sleep without it. I'm glad to be the one who's not stuffy. You're stuffy. That's so unfortunate.
It is. I guess that's what happens when you go to Alaska in January.
But it's been so warm here on the East Coast. Are you saying that Alaska in January is actually cold and wintry?
Well, you'd think it would be, except that I went to Alaska for 4 days and got stuck in snow home in Portland trying to get back.
There ain't no justice.
No, it rained 3 of the 4 days I was in Alaska. We were there for a wedding.
I was going to say what took you to Alaska. So rain. There was a wedding in Alaska.
Yes, and rain. So we got rain. Not even freezing rain, just raining rain. I mean, it was like... between 35 and 40 degrees the whole time. So rainy, raining rain was what we got. And then on the way home, we get to Seattle. And in Seattle, it was snowing. And when we got to Seattle, I was flipping through Twitter. Well, we had a couple stops on our flight. So in our first stop, when I got on the internet, I was looking at Twitter. And there was sort of the pre-freak out happening with all the Portland people that I follow because they were like, it's going to snow. They're saying it's going to snow. And there was like the faction that was like out buying all the bottled water in the city. And then there was the faction that was
bread
like...
Bread and milk.
Yes. And then there was the Snow MG faction of Portland. And then there was the Snow Way Jose faction of Portland that was like, yeah, we've heard this story before and we know how it ends. So they were like, yeah, I'll believe it when I see it. So then we got to Seattle, and in Seattle it was in fact snowing and our plane got delayed, and I think it was a de-icing issue. And then it was the quick hop home. Like, if it's the slightest bit turbulent, they won't even roll the cart out for snacks because it's just not even worth it at that point, because it's like a 45 minute flight or something. Yeah. So
we've reached our cruising altitude and now we've begun your descent into Portland.
Yeah. Ding dong. We've reached our cruising altitude. You may now take out your laptops. And as soon as they're done with the announcement, ding dong, you may now put away your laptops as we prepare for landing. Yeah. So yeah, it's basically that. Like, you're lucky if you can get them to like hurl the little thing of snack mix at you, you know, on the flight. So we get home, we come home to the icy tundra that is Portland, Oregon on the 3rd of January, 2016, and had to bail because there are a lot of factions in Portland. There's also a faction of people who go, I bought a giant SUV, urban assault vehicle, and that's literally all I need to do in order to be able to drive in the horrible weather. Ha ha, suckers, I'm headed to the store. And those people are idiots. And we had a lot of them. And we took the cab home and we were stuck behind one of those idiots. And so we actually were like feeling bad for the cab driver that he was just sitting there. So we're like, it's not like it's that far from here, so we'll just hoof it. And then we'll just get out, we'll take all our stuff, and you can like loop back around and head back to the airport, because this is dumb and you don't need to be sitting here waiting for this yo-yo to like work it out. So we listened to that guy fail to get through the intersection as we got most of the way home. So yeah, so we wheeled 3 suitcases home across the icy tundra that is Northeast Portland.
But
we got here. And it was fine. It was still currently at that moment, it had warmed up just enough to be freezing rain on top of all the snow. So,
quite possibly my least favorite precipitation of all time.
Oh, it's the worst. And I grew up in the wilderness of Oregon, which is another topic we can discuss if you really want to get topical. Weird things that happen in the Oregonian wilderness. And I grew up in loads of snow and all of that. And even over there, everybody who regularly deals with very wintry weather knows, like, snow is fine. Blowing snow is a little rough, but passable as long as you take your time. And freezing rain, forget it. You know,
it just stops everybody dead in their tracks. There's no, there is no way to bypass it. There's no
precisely because there's no countermeasure. Like, studs don't help you. Chains don't help you. Those little spider things that you hook to your hubcaps and pop out. None of that helps you. Like, yeah.
Is Kelly listing things you use to help you drive or things you use at a party?
Freezing rain cares not is basically how this goes. So, yeah. So then, so we got more freezing. We got a little bit of a melt today. So in some places it thawed, but overnight, of course, it's going to freeze again. So tomorrow morning is also going to equally suck, which makes my commute very pleasing to me at times like this. Yes. But also sort of not pleasing because it means I don't get a day off for bad weather.
One half dozen of another. Here on the eastern part of the country, and
all wearing shorts and t-shirts and laying out in front of your brownstones with that little foil thing around your neck, right?
No. We were, but it is now 21 degrees and going down to about a low of 16 tonight.
I remember this on
Monday.
Yeah.
Monday, January 4th. It is the first recording of the year's first show of the year. And we can't talk about weather without and skip over the middle part of the country where it has been truly craptastic.
It is terrifying to live in the middle of the country right now, in my opinion.
I have a friend. I have a friend from long ago who recently took he recently took a vacation to Hawaii, and it took him 3 days to get there with canceled flights and canceled cars, and they got stuck. I think they were in. They got stuck in Salt Lake. That was where they ended up being stuck, and they couldn't leave their hotel because one of their children didn't have any clothes that would allow them to survive the weather in Salt Lake.
Oh no!
And he got there. He got to Hawaii. He was able to spend about, I think, 4 or 5 days there before he had to come home again because in Missouri, his basement was full of water.
Oh no!
Dave, I'm really sorry.
Oh, Dave, that's so bad. I'm really sorry,
bad.
Dave.
Really bad. But
that's a disappointment.
Hopefully he's having a better time now.
I do want to put a footnote out to that story, which is over Christmas. Well, like during the Christmas buying season, one of the things that went on sale that we sort of talked about getting at my house was this thing called a Leo, L-E-E-O. And it's cool for a bunch of reasons. Number one, it's a nightlight and the configuration on it is really low. And I'll tell you why there's configuration in a second. It's also a sensor for a variety of things. So what it will do is it will listen to your smoke detector or your carbon monoxide detector. And when it hears it, it will send a notification to your phone and let you know that's going off, or your burglar alarm if you have an alarm system in your house. And it will also tell you temperature and humidity. And so what we discovered before it started snowing was that it was super dry here because we kept getting alerts while we were away that, like, yeah, it, you know, the humidity in your house is 22% right now. So normally I think they're $99 and we saw them on Amazon on sale for half that. So we actually have two now, and it's a piece of cake to set it up. And once you set it up, you have to test your alarms to make sure that wherever it is, it's a thing that goes into the outlet, and it's like a nightlight. You plug it in and
It's the Rain Man of Amazon Echoes.
Yeah.
It only hears one thing.
Yes.
Yeah. It only listens for alarms, and that's it.
Yeah. But you can also use it to check. So, like, while you're gone, like, we got my dad one because my parents go to Arizona for part of the year. And I thought that this was a really handy way for them to monitor and make sure. Because, like, last year, I think, while they were gone, there was a power surge. And like it blinked off, but when it blinked back on, it turned on. They have one of those fireplaces up against the wall, but it turned on and it was just on like max and it stayed there because nobody was home to go, hey, why is the fireplace on, and turn it off. So a couple of days later, somebody went by and checked on the house and noticed it was on because they walked into the house and like the wall of heat pushed them down. So So this helps, you know, eliminate some of that, because you can set parameters and it will tell you like your house is below or above a certain temperature if it senses a certain amount of humidity. And then also it's a nightlight, which makes it super handy, particularly because you can have it in the hall where you have smoke detectors and use it to listen. So it's a really cool, handy little device. I really like it. I recommend it.
That's and apparently, Leo. As of this recording, it is still on sale at Best Buy for $50.
Ooh, yes.
Even though if you get it direct from Leo, it is $100, so yeah. That's good to know. I may go and pick one up for myself.
You absolutely should, particularly if you have a house where there aren't people around during the day. A lot of things can happen, particularly if you live any place with dramatic weather, which is apparently everywhere now. Then this is a thing that you can do. You know, and we were using it to sort of make sure, like, you know, we had turned the furnace way down before we left, and so making sure that it had stayed low and stuff like that. So super awesome. Leo, not yet a sponsor. I also like a very small thing about it, which is that you can configure the color of the nightlight. And it will change color depending, like, if it has some sort of problem or if it falls off the Wi-Fi, you know, it'll turn a different color and pulse at you and stuff. So you know, like, what it's doing. But,
nice.
Yeah, it's super neat. And you can also set up emergency contacts. So, like, if you have a next door neighbor who has a key, you know, or, like, you have a friend who lives nearby that has a key that's that just-in-case person.
Right.
You can tell it, like, I want you to alert my emergency person because nobody's here.
Yeah.
And then it will, sense. Yeah, it will let that person go.
Let that
go
person in.
Check it out.
They can rescue the cat or whatever. Anyway, yeah. So this is a thing that you wanted to get.
No, we have one.
You did get it.
That's yeah, great. We have them and we really like them. And it would be really nice for people like Dave who ended up with a basement full of water. Like, you could have maybe found that out a little sooner. So, and maybe that would have helped. I don't know. But you need to investigate picking one up from Best Buy because you have a stretch of time coming up where you're not going to be home.
This is true. You are correct. And it is a time coming up, and I will not specify the exact time, but it's a time coming up next month where I and my family will be at the Disney Worldwide. We'll be in Orlando, Florida at Walt Disney World with the whole family, which is the first time that this has happened since we have had the offspring. Our elder daughter will shortly be 15.
Oh, geez.
Oh, my gosh. No.
That's a show moment. In itself, I'm sure.
Let's have a moment for that. So she's turning 15, and younger daughter is 11. And neither of them have ever been to Disney World. My wife and I have been. We've been as children. We've also been as adults. I've been quite a few more times than anyone else in the family because, as you know, Kelly, previous day job involved going to Orlando quite a bit.
Yeah.
And staying near on property. So I've been more recently than anybody else. But the kids have never been. And part of it was that it never felt like it was the right age range or the right like kind of setup in terms of where we were with finances and travel and vacations and camp and so forth.
And age requirements and height requirements and who needs a nap. Yeah.
Exactly. And like I think we are at the point now where everybody is old enough to enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
So or young enough to enjoy it, old enough to enjoy it, young enough to enjoy it, but not so old as they won't want to do it.
Right.
So we're doing
and old enough to be pretty much okay with not having to spend all day in line to meet a character.
Yeah, although we came up at dinner tonight. I said, does anyone want to meet Anna and Elsa? And the kids were like, no. And one of them said, but I want to meet Belle. And I was actually rather surprised.
Yeah.
didn't see that coming.
Oh, yeah. So. You never know who's going to be like, yeah.
Yeah.
Over a character. So, yeah. There's also a whole bunch of Star Wars stuff happening there.
Yes.
I can tell you all about the Disneyland version of because I got to do that. And it was terribly exciting. And I'm a Disney nerd in the first place. And so then to get to be a Star Wars nerd on top of that, it's very exciting.
So what is the Disney stuff that's going on out west?
So they've mutated Jedi Academy into this other thing that's like the ways of the force or the path of the force or something, which is still for people younger than me, which makes me upset. Because I still don't get to do it, and it looks really awesome. I keep saying every year that I want to go, and for my birthday, I want to, like, be able to pull the right strings to get, like, snuck into the Jedi Academy, which is the thing where they give the kids Jedi robes, and then Darth Vader comes up out of the floor of the Tomorrowland Terrace, and he has Darth Maul with him, and you have to fight one of them, and it's terribly exciting looking, and it's really, really awesome. And
isn't that the one where the little girl, like, yes, pledged allegiance to the dark side?
Yes.
That's unfortunate.
And I never get to do it, and it makes me sad. there's also, they've done some new projections for Inside Space Mountain. It is now called Hyper Space Mountain.
What?
And it's Star Warsy, and it's so awesome. Yeah.
No way.
Yes way, Ted.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, so here's my pro tip, is when you are at Hollywood Studios, the day that you want to go see the Star Wars stuff at Hollywood Studios, the yes, first thing you need to do when you walk into the park is get a fast pass for Hyperspace Mountain and immediately get in line, the regular standby line for Hyperspace Mountain. And then you will have ridden it, and you will also have a pass to probably at that point come back in the afternoon. And
but I'm not even sure that they're doing Hyperspace Mountain at Disney World.
I think they are, because they're doing some other stuff there. So you will have to see if that's a thing.
I'm pretty sure it appears to be only the West Coast, which is sad.
Oh, because you would be into that. It would be so cool. No. But also in Tomorrowland, at least out here, the music that plays there is all John Williams film score stuff, which is awesome. And we also have an Interventions building, which they do not have out east, but at the Interventions building they have some replicas and some stuff behind glass, and they also have some ridiculously priced Star Wars memorabilia, like they call it life size, but it's really more like Kelly size statue of Boba Fett. Which can be yours for like $7,500. One thing I know that they are doing, I know they do it during Star Wars weekends, I think it's at Disney World full time, is they will do the body scan and turn you into an action figure.
What?
I know. They were doing it during Star Wars weekends and it looked really awesome. And I thought that they were doing it here, but they're actually not doing it here. But they do have, what they have in the D-Tech section is you can get a custom iPhone case. So you can pick a case with like whatever characters on it you want, and you can like have your name engraved on it, and then they print it out for you, like 3D print it on the spot, and then you get a case like then on this, like on demand, which is pretty cool.
That's pretty awesome.
It's no action figure of yourself, but it's pretty cool. There's also a bunch of new merchandise, which is very exciting to me, because there was like a whole section of girls' clothes that's all Star Warsy. So guess who got 3 Star Wars shirts for Christmas? yes, I acted surprised. One of them is a full R2-D2 shirt. And so like the arms have the blue and everything. And then it looks like the front of R2-D2. And then you put up the hood, and the hood is gray, and it's got the little things around the back. It's the cutest thing ever. I'm so excited about it. And then I got a tank top, a Star Wars tank top. And then I got a T-shirt that says Star Wars on it with lightsabers, and it glows in the dark. So, yeah, and I didn't have to go to the kids section and buy a boys t-shirt in order to accomplish this. This is actually a women's t-shirt. So there was a bunch of stuff there that I could actually buy and wear, and was actually built for me and not for a 12-year-old boy. And it was really kind of awesome, because that doesn't normally happen. So I was pretty pumped about that.
All the merch stuff there is definitely going to be at Hollywood Studios in Florida.
Yeah, you're totally going to have all that at Star Tours.
Star Tours has been rebranded with Force Awakens. There's Tatooine Traders, which allows you to create your own droid.
Mm-hmm. Also very, very cool.
And
I think they still do the Build Your Own Lightsaber Station, too.
There is. That's at Watto's Grotto.
Yes.
And all that stuff. So yeah, we're definitely going to check it out. And I'll tell you what, the one that I'm excited about is Expedition Everest, because
it is so cool.
It's one of the things I have never gotten to do when I've been there, because I've never been to Animal Kingdom.
Animal Kingdom's pretty awesome in its own right, but yeah, that's a pretty awesome one.
So that's high on the list.
Yeah.
And as we both know, it is not possible to do this, particularly at busy times of year, without the help of the fine folks at The Unofficial Guide.
We love The Unofficial Guide.
Love The Unofficial Guide. They are at touringplans.com, not yet a sponsor. but worth checking out. And for folks who are considering a Disney vacation, or have never been, or are going with their families for the first time, seriously, it is worth your life wander into this without having some intel and somebody having your back. And the Unofficial Guide people have that. They use queuing theory and crowd math, and they have figured out ways to get through this park experience without waiting in line 90% of the time that you're there.
Get out of it with your sanity. With your relationships, with your family intact.
So they've done this. They've compared
for years.
And they've been doing it for years and years. They've done it. They've revised everything in the FastPass Plus era, mm-hmm. where people are now able to essentially reserve walk-on times for the rides. And they found historically that do these things that don't seem logical, like run from one side of the park to the other. And you know all the stuff that they make you do, but it make the difference is up to 4 hours a day of waiting in line that you stay
of just standing in a line.
Just standing in line. So, The Unofficial Guide to Walt Disney World, you can get the Kindle edition, and
there's a Disneyland edition as well.
There's a Disneyland edition. There's one that's specific to Disney with kids, and there's one for Universal Studios.
Now you can get the one with kids. I would recommend that for people who have never been with kids before. Because there's a whole lot of information about if you have kids in the standard unofficial guide, you can sort of take some of that, you know, as you need to with and without kids. They sort of have those options in the regular one. So it's not like if you are going without kids, you don't have to look for the one that says like without kids or anything like that. Like you can just buy the regular guide. And if you have kids, you don't necessarily need to get the one with kids, because they do take some of that into account in the regular book if it's harder to find. And it may be.
Yeah. It may be. I mean, you can always get it online, but certainly if you're looking at a bookstore, it's going to be a little harder to find. But
they're awesome.
They have it's just an amazing depth of information.
Yeah.
I'm turning into the type A. Okay, we have to do this now, person, and we got plenty of time before we go, but I'm really looking forward to it. Listeners, if you have Disney World specific tips that you want to share with us, we would love to hear them, or Disneyland specific tips for that matter. You can find us.
Yes, actually, I would totally be into those, because I'll be going back.
Yeah, you're going back. There's no question you're going back.
Exactly.
You know, people don't want to listen to the show without some mention of technology. So CES is going on right now.
As we record.
I have not heard a peep out of it.
I did see some announcements today.
What did you see?
Well, the one that I saw that was the most notable to me so far, because it looks like something that you can see from here. I'm trying to remember what people used to say. People used to say CES stood for coming, expected in spring. and that's basically true. Or expected in summer sometimes. So one thing that I saw today was that Griffin, oh God, I'm going to get it wrong. It might be Belkin, and now I'm going to have to look. either Griffin or Belkin, they're both companies that make really awesome stuff, and I have loads of both companies' products in my life because they make great stuff. I need to find the actual article that I saw today. And here's what was cool about it was, I'll tell you what it is, and then I'll tell you who actually made it. it's a breakaway, like MagSafe style cable that's USB-C. So you plug this like end into the USB-C on your, if you have the new MacBook, the 12-inch MacBook, and then the cable plugs into that, and it gives you the same MagSafe sort of setup that you have on every other computer Apple ships. So I thought that was very cool, and mostly because that was one of the huge things that kept me from springing for the new one, because last year, the new MacBook and the new MacBook Pro had dropped right around the same time, and I suddenly was eligible for an upgrade at my house. And so I shied away from the 12-inch MacBook because part of what I really liked about the computer that I had was the MagSafe situation. And it's Griffin. Griffin makes it, and it's called a Brake Safe. So it's got the magnetic end, and then you plug this little nubbin into the USB-C port, and then you get the same breakaway action that you would get otherwise. They also announced a power bank. Griffin announced a power bank that has a little area on the side of it where you can charge your Apple Watch.
Very nice.
So I thought both of those were very cool things. But I haven't seen a whole lot more from anybody else except for those, because those two got a lot of attention today in the Mac circles where I'm normally reading stuff. So,
you know, it's interesting. I think I'm having the odd bit of Macworld Expo prep drawl. Because like this is the time where you're like, okay, got to get my act together.
Yeah,
for San Francisco soon. Not happening. So
I know.
Again, we encourage listeners, if you've seen something really cool coming out of CES that you would love to have on your under your now presumably disposed of tree, do let us know. And I've got to get running. I've got an appointment to get to. We can always follow up later. If there's other stuff we want to do, but just want to say, hey, Happy New Year, everybody. Happy New Year, Kelly.
Happy New Year, Mike. And also, Happy New Year, Chris Fuller.
Happy New Year, Chris Fuller. Happy January. As you know, if you review the show on iTunes, we will mention you on the air.
We will indeed.
On the internet air. So, meanwhile, we'll be back shortly. We'll be back soon with another episode. And
yeah, maybe we'll come back next week and talk about what else came out of CES once more stuff actually comes out of it.
That would make a lot of sense because it's hard hard coming out of just the New Year's holiday. Everybody's so addled and not really knowing where their heads are at. And it's frozen in Portland and it's cold in New York. And really,
and I had a trip to Disneyland, came home for 3 days, went to Alaska. I'm sort of like looking at my house going, where am I right now? What's going on?
But I think one thing we can all be very happy about is that Darth is back on Twitter. Speaking of Star Wars.
Yes. Darth has made a triumphant return to Twitter. It's a very happy making day for everybody.
We're all very happy about that. So yes. Share what you're happy about.
Please.
You can reach us online at the_aftershow or aftershow podcast.
Ermigerd aftershow.
Old timey podcast radio here. aftershowpodcast.com. Kelly, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter and app.net as Verso, and you can find me occasionally writing things over at macobserver.com and sometimes on the British Tech Network.
And you can find me on the Twitters at Mike T. Rose, and that's about it. That's the best place to find me. Kelly, we will talk very soon. And to the audience, have a great evening.
I will point out also, before we officially sign off, I just want to say that we are also looking for a way to do remote karaoke duets still
doing.
So we do not have a solution in place at this time. If you have one, want to build one and have us test it, whatever it is, we also want to hear about that too. Please let us know.
Excellent. Thanks, everybody.